since we unofficially finished the sugyas of kashrus last week, so we'll take the next, perhaps this week, we'll get to next week, a little bit sugyas of Inyan of Yoma. We'll try to learn through a little bit of the sugyas that relate to Avelus as the days of Avelus begin to become even a little bit more intense. We mentioned in the drasha yesterday, those who heard the drasha, some drashas got canceled due to technicalities, but those who heard the drasha yesterday, those who didn't hear, we'll recap quickly, that the real formal Avelus in terms of halacha, so the Churban doesn't really begin until Rosh Chodesh Av. The concept of the 3 weeks, so that exists in the Ramah. The Ramah also has the customs, certain things that we've adopted as Avelus, but the Avelus proper, as dictated by Chazal, as real halachic Avelus, really only begins with Rosh Chodesh Av, and that's the Lashon of Chazal at the end of the Masechet Tainis, the Mishnah Nichlas Av Ma'atem Simcha. So there's already a time of limitations of certain activities beginning with Rosh Chodesh Av. What exactly is included in this Ma'at and the Simchot? So Chazal speak about two different activities. So Chazal speak about Ma'at that one is supposed to avoid Ma'as or Ma'atam, the business kind of transactions during this period. And Chazal speak about the Ma'at and the Binyanim Shal Simchot as well. I should say Simchot. Binyanim Shal Binyan, different kinds of construction activities. Those are things that are inappropriate. Those things that are come under this category of Ma'at and the Simchot. What exactly does this mean, Ma'at and the Ma'as or Ma'atam? What kind of Ma'as or Ma'atam are we talking about it? There was a big machlekes and Rishonim, just what the case of Chazal are referring to. So some Rishonim say that means all kind of business, anything, whatever doesn't have to be. And Chazal don't say also, it's outright, everything is also Mimatin. You're supposed to try to be Mimatin. There's a shadow about Mimatin, how much that means. Does that mean totally off? Does that mean partially off, mostly off? But according to some, it means all kind of business, any kind of business activity should be curtailed during these days from Rosh Hashanah until Tisha B'Av. And the other opinion of Rishon is that only Ma'atam and Yanim Shal Simcha. Ma'atam that is Simcha-oriented kind of thing, those things should be avoided. Not be buying things that don't give you too much joy anyway, so that would be permissible. So many people are very, very lenient about this. We try to tell people the Chachila that whatever they don't, I usually tell people, whatever you don't have to buy, you shouldn't buy. Whatever is not not necessary business, so now is not the time for grandiose kinds of shopping sprees. Except for those who find those shopping sprees to be more of a tzad than a mechum simple, probably most people in this room right now. But especially when the credit card bill comes at the end of the month. But generally speaking, for our those who enjoy Masa Masa, so we try to minimize whatever we can. Those which are super duper simple, think of Masa Masa should for sure be curtailed. But whatever degree one can cut down unnecessary business, so that is the correct thing to do during this time. The Chazal speak about the Ma'atin Bibinyan, that one is not supposed to be involved in construction at this time. So there is a big Machlekes Sapolkim, which is very, very relevant for us in Chutz Lorets, about what if it's a non-Jew who's doing the construction, hiring going to do the work for me, is that okay? So here, this is a throwback of the Sugis, Pierre Masech Shabbos. This is it appears actually in Makotah, Masech Shabbos, about the following. You know, there are many days of the year that you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to build. Shabbos, yeah? You're not allowed to do construction on Shabbos, you're not allowed to be there. So what if a person hired a non-Jew to do work for him? That's considered to be a prohibition of my doing work. So the halacha differentiates in the following two cases. If I tell somebody on Shabbos itself, I say, please come and build a house for me, that's outright usher. That's a merely apple. And just about everybody, that's a visit to Rabbanon. And one Rashi and Chumash, it sounds a little like it's a visit to Raisa, but no one's quite sure what Rashi meant with that. As you can sense, the view is, the Supreme of the Gemara, that Amir Yaakov is prohibited mid the Rabbanon. But what if I didn't say to the non-Jew on Shabbos itself? What if I said to the non-Jew from before Shabbos? So here, the Mishnah differentiates as follows. If I say to the non-Jew, let's say on Thursday, I say to the non-Jew, come and build a house for me on Saturday, so that's a problem, even though I instructed him from beforehand, but the night he's doing the Malach on Shabbos. But if I say to him, come and do the Malach whenever you want, it's Thursday now, I need the job done by next Thursday, so whenever you want to do the job, at your own pace, at your own time, that's what's called a Dait de Nafshe. He's working at his own pace, so that the Ikra Din is booked. That's what the Mishnah says at the end of the first Baptist of the Shabbos. So no speak begun with the Kodesh, you're allowed to give clothing to the dry cleaner. Mishnah says dry cleaner, you're allowed to give your suit to the dry cleaner, you can give your cloth to the mechanic, you all kind of things, as long as the person who's doing the work is a guy, the person's a Jew. The suit cleaners, that's the problem. But if you're giving it to a Moshe cleaner, so that's permissible because you gave it to them from before Shabbos and the work is taking place. Whatever the goy wants to do, he wants to do it on Shabbos, either way it's going to be okay. I had a fascinating discussion with a tailor, a non-Jewish tailor, who someone recommended that we go to. So, not here, it's a different neighborhood. we had to bring some better quality stuff, so I told him to go to a different tell, whatever it was. So I was schmoozing with the tell a little bit, trying to tell him to get everything I wanted things to be done before the 9 days, because I didn't want to have to, even though Mikra didn't tell him he could do it on the, I didn't want him to have to come back and fix it, and so I tried to have everything done. So then I don't know what happened, something about Shabbos, because I forgot what the discussion was. The non-Jewish tailor says to me, he says, I know, you're not allowed to tell me when I'm going to do it. I'm going to do whatever I want to do it. Give me a whole shift of the you don't tell me when to do it. I know exactly what I know what you're allowed to say, what you're not allowed to say. I don't know that I mentioned about, he's from Italy, I thought, I know, he's an Italian guy. And in the middle of the discussion, he says to me, he said, I know about the 9 days in the summer. I know all about that. He said, that's the temple. The temple was destroyed. I said, yeah. So, notice of nationality. So he said to me, he said, we learned about that in school, about how the Jewish temple was destroyed, you know, 2,000 years ago. He said, who destroyed the first temple? I said, the Babylonian. And the second one, he said, then he looked at me and said, I know, it was the Romans, I know. That's the conversation, I gave him my pants and we parted. Okay, anyway, so the din is that Achmadat and Avshikar really is a good heter. The mission says the fair shall not do that. So it was a big machlokes and we showed him whether that heter of Achmadat is an Avshikar in Shabbos, which is going to be the setup for Hashal of the 9 days, whether that heter applies if the work was being done in Jewish property. There's all the cases that the Mishnah gives, all cases where it's been done in the Goy's store. I give him a suit from on Thursday, I give him a car on Friday morning, and he does it at his own pace. But what if the Goy's coming to my house, coming to my property, if you work at my house? So that's a whole other ballgame. So that was the big machlokes between the Tam and the Rishon. The Tam says it's not different. The Tam says the same thing. But the Goy can come, as long as it's Derech Kavlah, there's no set time. He's not being ordered, not being instructed to do work on Shabbos. It doesn't matter. He can literally come to my house as well. And that's what the Tam said, that technically speaking, you can have a Goy build your house on Shabbos. As long as you're not paying him as a poly, you're not paying him by the hour, you're not instructing him to do work on Shabbos. You say to him, I need his house built in 6 months from now, so then he'll have it ready in a year and a half. And then so whenever he works at whatever pace he works at, and he happens to come on Shabbos, and then Tam says that's okay. And most of the Rishonim disagreed with Rabbeinu Tam and said that that you're not supposed to do that. That on Jewish property is more problematic. Why is that? So those are issues of our science. That Bishlam, when I gave the suit in to the cleaners on Friday, so nobody knows when the guys whose suit he's washing. Because here, someone's going to come by the street and they're going to see there are trucks, the construction trucks all over the place. You have 40 guys who are working and building your house. So nobody knows that when you ask them to do the work, it gives off a terrible, terrible look. That either you hire them to work for now, or some say that it's a tremendous deal. So even if nobody's going to think you literally hire them to work, it'll give us a terrible, terrible taste for Shabbos, and therefore Chazal never included that in the Heter. So Rabbeinu Tam said that those reasons are not correct, and Rabbeinu Tam said it's mutter, and just about all the other Rishonim, many of the other Rishonim disagree. The Tosfos quotes at the end of the story when they quote Rabbeinu Tam to disagree, like Tosfos writes that when Rabbeinu Tam built his own house, so he didn't have the great work on Shabbos, even though he held that it was mutter. He said he knew that he was in the minority view, so he didn't want to think the rabbi to build his house on Shabbos, so he resisted, and he took him another 3 years to build the house. So he didn't have to go and work on Shabbos. That's how we follow halacha. We talk in halacha shulchan aruch. You're not supposed to have go and working on your houses on Shabbos. And even though you hired them from beforehand, they're coming on their own time. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah has a whole discussion about whether that halacha, that we accept the halacha, is absolutely true as not as that. One can argue that maybe the Medama Mamurim, that was true. That was in the days when people would sometimes hire workers daily. I'm building a house, so I could sometimes go out to the street and hire a guy, okay, come in and do my plumbing, come in and do, you know, on the spot. Today, nobody does, even the Mishnah Berurah, nobody does that. You hire a guy for advance, and everybody knows that you're not hiring hourly workers to fix your roof. Everyone knows that everything is Derech Kavlah. Was not as that. So maybe even those who disagree with Rabbeinu Tam, maybe would accept that. Maybe, and maybe not. Should we quote Hems and Holes about that? So I'm thinking it's not. I mean, nobody should. I'm not thinking that. Nobody should be doing that today. Our practice is that all kind of construction that's taking place in Jewish property should be refrained from on Shabbos and Yom, even though it was set up before. The only time that it's going to be mutter is if it's in a place where nobody is around. When no Jew lives here, nobody from is going to walk by here. So then it's going to, then the post-team will make them. So I remember a fellow asked me a couple of years ago, we had some property that he owned in Newark. And he wanted to have the guy begin to work in Newark. So that was mutter. I didn't think that anybody was walking in Newark on Shabbos, and I didn't think any from person who had been there. I didn't think there was any concern with us. But a guy who lives in Springfield, and they're building a house on in front of 100,000 people to see it, so that's a problem. That should not be done. So he had the same shyness spilled over when it comes to the 9 days. The person hires a worker. To, from before Rosh Chodesh, and says, listen, you work for everyone. You want to come today, you want to come next month, whatever works for you, that's fine with me. So that's the Shaila. Do we have a right to say that just as our Shabbos are done, it's probably really mutter, except for all those concerns in our time and Zuzul, so maybe at least when it comes to the 9 days, that should be mutter. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Ikra Din is that's not mutter. The Ikra Din is that all kind of construction that began from before Rosh Chodesh, and the goyim are working as kablanim, they're just contractors, and they're working whatever pace and schedule they're up to. So the Ikra Din, that would be okay. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, yes, it's eight. Not everybody agrees to that. The Mishnah Berurah says, I'm a person to try to avoid that. You can try to avoid it. You can easily tell the contractor not to come for that week. So that's the correct thing to do. If you can, so then the Ikra Din is that it's mutter. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Yishayim who say that the Mokal Mitzvah, so everything's mutter. The whole Nisar, the building on a building during the 9 days, wasn't instituted. The Binyanim Shal Mitzvah, that's what shuls and yeshivas, things like that, and twelves, things like that are permitted just to continue their business as usual. That's what, as we've said many times, this structure that we're in right now. So a good part of the framing of the structure took place, strangely enough, on Tisha B'Av itself, 18 plus years ago, when we were building in the summertime, so we were doing a lot of first summer. We bought the property in the very beginning of June. They were doing a lot of work during the summer, and then it was like a whole week of like pouring rain. And they couldn't do anything. And then all of a sudden, the sun came out of Tisha B'Av. So all of a sudden, 40 guys showed up framing the entire building on Tisha B'Av. So I remember I was in Rosh Hashanah those summers, and my wife was here, and she told me, friend, she said, you know that they're building the shul on Tisha B'Av itself? So I said, I wasn't aware of that, so now you tell me. I said, the Mishnah Berurah said, it's okay. That's a Mokal Mitzvah. And it was a Kabbalah, it's a Mokal Mitzvah. Okay, anyway, so that's that story. So those are the two things that appear in Chazal itself about that begin from Rosh Chodesh Av itself. Then Chazal speak about another period of time of Avelos. That's what's called Shavu Shechav of Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara quotes at the end of the second time, I'm not going to get to know about this, but we pass in Halacha that Shavu Shechav of Tisha B'Av, the week that Tisha B'Av falls out, so the degree of Avelos now begins to get a little bit higher. Many years you don't even have a very minuscule Shavu Shechav of Tisha B'Av, because whenever, let's say, if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Sunday, let's say literally the night of Av, Mamash falls out on a Sunday, then the whole week before, how much Shavu Shechav of Tisha B'Av? So nothing. And even if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Shabbos and Tisha B'Av to Sunday, so we probably assume halacha that there's no real Shavu Shechav of Tisha B'Av either. That would actually be machlokes in the Poskim. When you have a Tisha B'Av that's nidchem, so the ninth of Av on the calendar is on Saturday, but it's not observed till Sunday, so it was 6 days before that considered to be Shavu Shechav of Tisha B'Av. So some Poskim say, yeah, it's called Shavu Shechav of Tisha B'Av, because as the words are, Shavu Shechav of Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av. And other Poskim say, come on, that's not what Tisha B'Av means. Tisha B'Av doesn't mean the ninth of Av. That's not what it means. It means the day that you observe the Tisha B'Av. So the fact that it happens to be in the calendar, the ninth of Av, that doesn't make the 6 days before a Shavu Shechav of Tisha B'Av. So it's probably a very, very long Tisha B'Av lectures about when you have a Tisha B'Av nidcheh. So how do you view a Tisha B'Av nidcheh? So do you say that it's basically the ninth of Av, l'chol b'avar, it's mamish Tisha B'Av today, what happens, never, it's not halachi, not allowed to fast on Shabbos, it's halachi, you can't have a veil on Shabbos. So we have to, we have to kind of push away all the Tisha B'Av restrictions, but the atzmuso, and the chefs of the yoyim, the essence of the day, it's Tisha B'Av. But we say, no, come on, if it's a nidchem, it's a nidchem, at least Tisha B'Av, so that year Tisha B'Av was under Yud B'Av. We're not going to rename it Yud B'Av, but that's what it is, Tisha B'Av that year was under Yud B'Av. So that's the machlokes that we've shown him about, is there anything whatsoever, when you have a Tisha B'Av that's nidcha, is there any mash, any shemesh of any Tisha B'Av halachas on the ninth of Av when it falls out on the Shabbos? So there's the machlokes that we've shown, the machlokes in the Chaver and the Ramah, about Dvarim Shevitzina on a Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Shabbos. A couple permitted to have Tashmi Shemita on Friday night when you have a Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch is making, goes to Shem Romegel, and says, it's not Tisha B'Av. You're eating chon tomorrow, so you're not fasting, you're not observing your best, you're wearing your shoes, so everything is mutter. And the Ramah calls Tashmi Shem and says, no, it's Tisha B'Av today. You have to be knowing Avelos today. A lot. On Shabbos, you don't know Avelos. Yeah, you're not knowing Avelos, but for Heshi on Shabbos. So you don't have public manifestations of Avelos. But Dvarim Shabbatzino are noyeg on Shabbos. The regular guy is sitting shiva, so he's not allowed to have Tash Shemitah. Dvarim Shabbatzino. So there are more calls to practice that one is not supposed to have relations on a Friday night when Tishba falls out on Shabbos, but it's still up to Shemitz a little bit, still a mashu of a Tishba. Even though the Ramah quotes that practice, the later Tosafot point out that that's really only the Torah's Chumrah, not that the Ramah really, really, really held that way. That's why the Tosafot can make, let's say it's a little Tevila, who's going to the mikveh that night, so the Tosafot can make, one would not have to observe. It was a real thing, so then it would apply even a little Tevila, but since we don't really, really pass in that way. So the Ikra, then we hold that when you have a Tishra's Chas B'Shabbos, it's really no Tevilas. It's really Ramash Adorim. It's really nothing. Not even Ramash Adorim. It's nothing. That's what I remember when Yaakov's Shav Zachar was on Leah Tishra's Chalios B'Shabbos. So it was that year Tishra fell on Shabbos, so he was born in Zion Av. So he had the Shav Zachar that night, the night of Av. There was little Riverdale. It was the summer rabbi that particular summer. So I remember the Shia and the Pelskim, you have a Shal Zachar on the Tishma of Night, should you bring your mic a little bit? Should you tone things down or not? I'm not sure what that would mean exactly. So it's a Lomba Shashilas. I mean, if you hold it, tone it down. You finish Lomba Shashilas, you mean tone it down. It's okay, that's supposed to tone it down. It's supposed to be a normal, regular Dachel Kurdish, a regular Shabbos. So we didn't tone it down. We didn't do anything officially to change any of the protocol of that, what would have been a normal Shalom Zach. Anyway, getting back to this, to the story. So, since the Ikra didn't be Paskin, we have a Tishma Chas B'Shabbos, there's really no Avelis at all, so then many folks know that there's no real Shema Shechal of Tishma Vida. So the whole week before is considered to be, it's like 9 days, but as we're going to see in a moment, that there are certain things that are also in Shavuot Shechalba that are not really also in Ikra Din, which are in the 9 days proper. So whenever you have a Tishma that falls out either on Sunday or falls out on Shabbos or Pesach Sunday, so you have basically no, just that for practical purposes, no Shavuot Shechalba Tishma. If it falls out on a Tuesday, okay, so you have a Sunday or Monday, and it falls out on Thursday like this year, then you have the big, this is the only time every few years when you have a Tishma on Thursday where you end up with a fairly long Shavuot Shechalba Tishma. My Nafkamina, Shavuot Shechalba Tishma, so the Gemara says in the end of the Sechel Tainis, but also Sapal Chavis, that there are certain things that you're not allowed to do during Shavuot Shechabot Tishvot Mikra Din. You're not permitted to get haircuts, you're not permitted to wash clothing. So you're probably wondering, haircuts, clothing? Haircuts, we've been keeping that ready for a couple of weeks, and the clothing, everybody knows, is ready for the 9 days, but those are menachim, as we said. The Mikra Din is that also Sapal Chavis, so that applies only during the Shavuot Shechabot Tishvot. What is included in these Yisurim, particularly the Yisur of L'chabes, the Sapper has already been going on for quite some time, but what is included in the Yisur of L'chabes, so the post can point out that you have an Uchot Avelos, that there are two parts of it, that you're not supposed to be doing laundry during the period of Shavuot Shechabot Tishbav, and again, we follow the Minig, that all these Yisurim already begin with our Minig, going back from Mishchodesh, so it's not permitted to be doing laundry, and one's not permitted to be wearing newly washed clothing. Those are all considered to be included in the Yisurim of Aser Lechabes. So there is a practice that has started in the camps in Europe. You don't have to be clothing, the same shirts, same clothing for 6 months. But the practice that began probably in the Catskills 60, 70 years ago, called all of a sudden the official era of Tisha B'Av, changing of the guards, putting on 16... the same kids who don't change their shirt for the entire summer, but they're just in case, they need an extra shirt, so they have to put on 16 shirts beforehand. So the Pesachei Tshuva quotes in Hilchos Avelos, in real Hilchos Avelos, the Tshuva quotes that the Isser of wearing freshly washed clothing during Shiva, which is the real din, the Pesachei Tshuva Hilchos Avelos quotes that Bamedim Bamemurim, that's something which is not going to cause you a lot of, uncomfort if you don't change. But something that gets very sweaty, something that you wear close to your body, big day Zaya, it gets very, very sweaty. So says the Pesachei Tshuva, of course you're allowed to change that during the Yeshiva. Why? Because the Chanisid is, the Mishnah says in the Sechas Brachas that when Leo was sitting shiva for his wife, he took a shower. So it's going to be the next one, take a shower, but not take a shower. So he said, Isidus, and he was very uncomfortable. The din is that Avail is not supposed to be tsar. Avail is supposed to be mil tanugim. It's supposed to be, not as comfortable, not as pleasurable. So the guy's not much physically in pain, so then there's no Avail.
Would that also apply to
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. We'll get to that in a second. Just that you're right, therefore, if a person wants to switch to big day day, and little shiva, wearing the same undershirt the whole week, and it's a little smelly and dirty and sticky, so that's okay, so you're allowed to switch over in the middle of shiva, and that's not considered to be a problem. So the Pesach Shuvah acknowledges the fact that, how come it doesn't say this in your loose funds? Pesach Shuvah was a late Acher, 1800s. He says, how come nobody pointed this out? Nobody would make this aura. So he writes at the end, the reason why nobody mentioned it is, we talk Rof Shituso. He said, time to get out, I can figure out, I don't need anyone to type. Obviously, you're allowed to switch underwear in the middle of shiva. So the Tosfim spills this, carry this over to the Minhagim of the 9 days and to the Shiva Shechavah or whatever it is, that the men of Amun, we say you're not supposed to change clothing, so that means you're not supposed to change clothing that's not changed that often, something like underwear, etc., the socks that you change all the time. If you wear the same socks for 5 days, you're going to be very, very uncomfortable. So that was never included in it. So that's what our minhag is today, that nobody bothers. Nobody that I know, these fathers putting on all 15 undershirts before, and we assume that that's all considered to be included in Big Day Zayah. There's always that machlokes every year in camp. What is Big Day Zayah? What's not Big Day Zayah? Some shirts for the last 50 years been a very controversial issue. So it's Shimon Eider and the Wadi Rabbanim. I think that's what it is by that. I've said this many, many times. Shimon Eider was Kedeya, probably most of the Minhagim of America for the 3 weeks. Because he wrote his English Svara back in the 60s and the 70s, when all the camps were, first thing, when camps were basically starting. And so she became the final word, Alam and Hagim of the 3 weeks, all the Tishba story. So he and his Sefer writes, he thinks that shirts are not considered to be Big Day Zayah. I know that many of the Rabbanim by us disagreed. They felt that people do change the shirts fairly often enough. I just got off the phone the other day with Entis Wakola. So I feel like I'm sleeping with Mizrach, even though I'm not there, but somehow they call me, go for the same shot as I have every summer. So the only difference is they have to remember that I'm not there, to call me at the right time. So I got off the phone with a whole laundry, a whole support. Another way camps go. Camps, most things revolve around what laundry day is. Laundry day, that revolves around when trips are. So that planned it to your limb because laundry day is going to be Monday, so I'm going to be back on Tuesday, and then there'll be another trip, and then we'll be back after the Shkia. So I'm sitting and trying to coordinate about when to give it. So we ended up, our brisket diet, we have 2 laundry days next week. If your kids are not successful, you want to know why you're getting 2 laundry days. So there's the Big Day Zayah laundry day and the non-Big Day Zayah laundry day, because the non-Big Day Zayah will have to be back by Monday night, because that's when the Tiyul is leaving, and they won't be back till Tuesday night, and the Big Day Zayah are going to be able to return Tuesday afternoon. So, and after I have to be careful also because the Jews doing the watch to make sure that everything's being done in Kedas for Chedes, being done on Rosh Chodesh itself. So anyway, so we have a very, very long thing. So there was those who've been in, really after Swat Kolo, so after Mincha, it was always a big announcement, so then it gives a 20-minute announcement for everything you have to know about the coming, up-and-coming day itself. So apparently there was a big announcement that was made, it was on Thursday, whatever it was, about the laundry, and the guy, I think it wasn't Rabbeinu, but somebody else made the announcement, and there was a mistake in the announcement. And they mixed up the whole, I spent an hour making up this message, and something got mixed up. And this is the way modern technology is, so Mincha and Kolo was whatever time it was, 1:20. I get a text, and I get a WhatsApp from somebody, within 3 minutes after the announcement was made, Rebbe, there was a big mix-up, somebody said something in your name, it doesn't sound right. So I had to right away immediately WhatsApp the guy who was a pleasure, and after that, within 4 minutes, we had the whole thing. No, it was a mistake. The guy didn't hear what I said properly. He redid it. So the whole long list about Big Day Zayah, within 3 minutes, across 6,000 miles. And if you want that, this guy, we try to get everything down pat. So if the kids are in answers, like, oh, so hope and pray that they get their undershirts back where they're supposed to. Anyway, back to that story. So the bottom line is that we do have this distinction, supposed to be based in this, we do have this distinction on Maisa for us. That Big Day Zayah, we're not so worried about, but the other things we are. So in terms of actually washing Big Day Zayah, so we don't do that. That's nice that we don't wash a Big Day Zayah. We try to have that before. One person doesn't have any, you don't have the attitude of saying, buy new stuff. At Cholamoy, we have a shadow all the time. A guy comes to the Cholamoy, said, I don't have any clothing. So we go out and buy clothing. At Cholamoy, you're allowed to buy clothing if you need it for the answer. You have a Cholamoy. In the 9 days, you're not supposed to buy clothing. Because the same way you're not supposed to wash clothing, you're not supposed to buy new clothing either. So, a guy comes the 5th day of the 9 days and he doesn't have any underwear. So, what do you tell him? So Hilchos Avelos dictates you're not mechuyif to wear the dirty underwear for the next week. On the other hand, you're not really supposed to wash, not really supposed to bite. So you have to do something. You wash it. You do. And then you have the leis brera, because otherwise the person is going to be an istinus. But a chacham made a barosh, you're supposed to try to plan it ahead of time. So unfortunately, in America, we have the phenomenon when Tisha B'Av falls out just around this time, that it's very often overlaps with what we call a changeover day. Well, it used to, in the old days, changeover day meant you went to the same camp. You went to Marashah, and you stayed for 4 weeks, you stayed for 8 weeks. That was the old day. Now, changeover day means you go to a different camp, go to a different program. Nobody goes only to one camp anymore. Those days are long gone. Now you have to go to three programs, and then there's the post camps. You have to go to the July camp, August camp, and then there's, just in case Khalil you would be off. Have nothing to do for the 10 minutes between the second camp ends and school starts. So there's the Nach camp, the third camp. So very often it turns out that the laundry coincides. Tishkov has to work around these. Anyway, back to the story. So in terms of this idea that the folks can have, that a person is not supposed to wear freshly washed clothing that I'm being to say during the 9 days. So the question is, what does it mean to wear something freshly laundered? What do those words mean? So there is a rabbah in Hilchos Avelos in Yoredeya about shloshim. The Mara says in the Yedem HaSechet Tzmei Katan that an avel during the week of Shiva is not permitted to wash clothing, not permitted to wash or to wear freshly washed clothing, except from the Yoredeya. And after Shiva is over, so according to most Rishonim, those Yisurim disappear. According to most Rishonim, there is no Yisur of Kibbutz after Shiva, with one exception. It's supposed to revolve. I'll tell you that whole different reading of Gemara, that it comes out that there is an Yisur of wearing freshly washed clothing in the entire month of Shloshim. So we don't really pass in that way, but the Ramon writes that in deference to that view, the minhag became that the person wants to put on freshly washed clothing, not underwear, the person wants to put on freshly washed clothing during the whole month of Shloshim, so the minhag is he gives it to somebody else to wear. Somebody else puts it on for a little while, and then it's not considered to be quote-unquote freshly washed. That's the Ramon tucked away in the bells of Shloshim. So the poskim, when it comes to the Tisha B'Av, have the same idea. They say that if it works for that minhag, and it works for this also, so you can have somebody else wear it. The only problem is, by shloshim, there's a non-avol to do it for you, because we can ask to wear for you. Everyone's keeping the same minhag. Who's going to put on this freshly washed pair of pants for you? So here's the poskim with this idea. Well, instead of having somebody do it for you during the 9 days, do it yourself before the 9 days. If you put it on a little bit before, so that's like the equivalent of what Ramah said, having somebody else put it on for you. How long does the person have to put it on for you? So it's also got different lashonos in Hilchos Shloshim. In Hilchos Avelos, how long does the non-avel put on the clothing for to make it quote-unquote worn ready and not freshly laundered clothing? So whatever the shear is there, that's the same shear when it comes to the 9 days. What's that shear? Okay, right, different lashonos. Some folks can write, you don't need so long, shoshotayim, an hour or two. So most people don't do that for the 9 days. It's usually, she's like after the last ball play, after the last swim before, and they have 10 minutes before dinner, so everyone's putting on 16 pairs of pants. So the minute they put on fairly quickly, but that's a short amount of time and attention.
So in terms of the status of the freshly laundered, especially in modern world, you have so many different. Clothing doesn't get worn for like a month at a time.
Right. Is that also good? Yeah. Again, there's a lot of it's hard to pinpoint, but I think we usually assume that something that came out of the washing machine hasn't been put on yet. So it came out of the dry cleaner, hasn't put on, that's okay. There's not that much stuff that we're even talking about. And once you knock out the bezeh out of the picture, and once you, if you make it on shirts, and our minig is like the gra that Erev Shabbos, for Shabbos, you're allowed to wear fresh clothes. Ramos says you're not supposed to wear Shabbos clothes altogether. Ramos says Shabbos clothes are supposed to wear a big dechol. The Birkei Yosef writes that the reason why the Ramos wrote that was even when Ramos was available for Hesi and not supposed to have on Shabbos. So Birkei Yosef writes that in the days of the Ramos, not everybody had Shabbos clothing. And so sometimes on a regular Shabbos, people would walk the shul with weekday clothing. No one would think twice about it. So since it wasn't considered to be an outright available for Hesi, therefore, it's more correct to wear a weekday clothing during Shabbos Chazal in the Gral. The Gral lived, so the B'chai Yosef, I don't know, once a wealthy girl either, but the B'chai Yosef claims that the Gral lived, everyone had Shabbos clothing. So if you see a guy walks into his weekday clothing, it's shul, so then that's going to be a big advantage for us here. So we usually assume we should assume that everybody wears Shabbos clothing on regular Shabbos, we hope. And since we generally walk the shul with Shabbos clothing, or we should be walking the shul with Shabbos clothing, so we assume that if we wear weekday clothing, you know, on Shabbos, for them would be a bad idea. So we follow the Dinei Agra that the whole thing doesn't apply on Shabbos. You can wear freshly washed clothing, whatever, all that goes in Shabbos. But if you think about it, there's not that much left. So the only kind of clothing, you're talking about a pair of pants or something, you're talking about a very, very minimal amount of stuff. Remember, in Francis, I called, they called me this week, and they want to know, where do you draw the line? What's called Big Day Day exactly? They want to know about sweatpants, Gishmom Kenu, Big Day Day. And how often the guys switch their sweatpants? The entire summer, I don't know, whatever. So you want shorts and sweatpants, and then somebody asked me about, what about bathing suits? So I responded back, who was going swimming? I said, for 9 days. So they never responded back. I think they just looking at, they were going through their list of, they were going through their drawers and just looking at what they asked me and see what the question was. Anyway, so there's not that much at the end of the day. That's not all that much. Okay. In addition to the Sakal Chabbos, which at least has its roots in Chazal, at least Rosh Hashanah, so there's another famous minhag that we have, and that's Bosa V'Yayin, to refrain from meat and wine during the period of time, beginning from Rosh Chodesh. So that has its roots in Chazal in a very, very minuscule way, in terms of the Surah Ma'asekes. The Gemara says at the end of time is that the last meal that's eaten in the afternoon, in Erev Tisha B'Av, so that you're not allowed to have Bosa V'Yayin. That's Mikra Din. You're not allowed to have meat and wine at that meal. But anything before you, that's okay. And then there are more quotes of minhag that we have. There were some who had a minhag even back for the whole 3 weeks. So some people shouldn't complain. Our minhag is the minimum minhag. Some didn't have the minhag altogether, some had the minhag back for Shmos. But that was in the standard minhag in Ashkenazi communities that's become over the last couple hundred years to refrain from Bosa V'Yayin. Since Bosa V'Yayin is really only the Torah's minhag, therefore this minhag was not instituted by Mokom Mitzvah. The Ramah writes, whenever there's a Mokom Mitzvah, so it doesn't apply. That's why the Ramah writes that Nikra Din, you're allowed to drink the kosher Havdalah. Shabbos for sure doesn't apply, because it's not Mokom Mitzvah, and even the kosher Havdalah, so the Ramah paskins that really you're allowed to drink on the first Shabbos of Chazon, that's the kosher Mitzvah. The Ramah writes, the yes is ace. If you have a kid around the house, you can drink it for you, so don't give it to the child. But if you don't have a child, you're not supposed to wake up the child, the child goes crazy, so you're allowed to drink it, yourself. Many people have the practice that they give it to a child. So then the Mishavur just writes, you have to be careful when you give it to a child, that the child is old enough to understand what brachas are, that you give it to a 2-year-old, so that's regular brachas. You give it to a 12-and-a-half-year-old, so that he's a gila veil, so the chorban, you have to try to aim it a little bit in the middle. I remember when we were in Etzis, back in Moshe Shuffle old days, so every year there was a different willow who would be the one to drink the wine. You can tell Rabbi Simcha Willow, he was the most comedy one, but yeah. Right. It's a good point. Even though we hold that the Ikra Din is no chinuch for avelos, that's machalik to Rishai, but we pass in Shulchan there's no real chinuch for avelos. Nevertheless, the Magen Avraham writes that the chinuch avelos of the Chorban Tzemah is mochamer. So we do give a little bit of that. So we don't give back 12-year-olds to eat meat during the Nandir. We try to have them to refrain from certain hungries as well. So that's what most people have that practice. I've seen Rabbi Shechter in Shavuot Shechavo, Shabbos Chazon, and I've seen him drink the wine, drink the grape juice for Havdalah, you know, even though there were kids around, he wasn't so worried about this today, but you're allowed to drink it. You have to go measure which kid is a kid. You can drink the grape juice themselves, but I think that most people do have the practice that they try to find a confidence. Hopefully, next week we'll have everyone on Mikdash, and we put all these shiurim on hold, and in case we have to continue. So remember, we left off between the meat and the wine and the shiurim, so hold off on all your shiurim, maybe not, maybe have them this week before Shavuot, whatever shiurim you want to have. Okay, we'll next week.